This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brothers and sisters, we are very fortunate indeed today to have a meet Sheikh Al-Madina. Sheikh Al-Madina, through whose teachings and guidance, many millions of Muslims throughout the world are now better Muslims, and through whose teachings and guidance tens of thousands of non-Muslims, by the grace and mercy of Allah, have embraced Islam. Sheikh Ahmed Didar, Muslim scholar of the Christian Bible, unique in style, an intellectual giant, head and shoulder above the others, not only in the world of Islam, but in the world of religions. Brothers and sisters, I would like you to welcome him with a loud takbir. Takbir! Takbir! Takbir!
قال الله تعالى في شأن حبيبه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولتجدن أقربهم مودة للذين آمنوا الذين قالوا إنا نصارى ذلك بأن منهم كسيسين ورهبانا وأنهم لا يستكبرون. صدق الله صدق الله العظيم. My dear brethren, this is a unique occasion. It reminds me of the event 1400 years ago in Medina. In Medina Munawwara, in the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a Christian deputation had come from Najran. You remember that? From Najran. And they had a discussion. The Christians and our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a discussion for 3 days and three nights. And when Sunday came, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so tolerant, he offered his Masjid al-Nabawi for the Christians to offer their prayers. This is how tolerant our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. And this is the example he set us. And the Masjid is the best place where you can deliver the message of Islam. Now, I will explain to you, you know, how we in South Africa, we talk to visitors. We have a Masjid in the center of the city of Durban, which attracts thousands of visitors, tourists, church groups, school groups, and they come along, and our people, they welcome them with open hearts. Because it's an opportunity for them to be educated, to know what we believe, how we believe, and what we do, and why we do what we do. So it's education. And it opens our hearts and minds. But now, at the beginning of this talk of mine, I read to you an ayah from the Holy Quran. From Surah Ma'idah. Surah Ma'idah from the Holy Quran. And I'm suggesting to my brothers and sisters that when anybody anytime gives you a reference from the Holy Quran, make a point of going home and checking up that reference. Not that you're doubting the speaker, that our sheikhs and our imams are trying to deceive us. No, no. But from the point of view that if you go home and check up that reference in your Quran at home, in your translation, and you confirm what you have heard, when you see that ayah with your eyes and you read it with your heart and mind, that ayah, that knowledge will become a part of your own property, and you in turn will be able to share with others. From that point of view, I recommend that each and every one of you, you have a Quran at home, a translation, avail yourself of the opportunity of checking that. I said, Ma'idah. How do you find Ma'idah in an encyclopedia of the size? This Quran here is about 2,000 pages, with Arabic text, translation and commentary. And the Quran consists of 114 surahs. Ma'idah is only one of them. How can you find that surah in the Quran? The first person to give me the right answer, he gets this book, this choice.
M index. Look for M.
You didn't give anybody a chance, but now I'm here. You go to the index. In this Quran here by Abdullah Yusuf Ali, there is a very comprehensive index at the back. Anything you want to know, you go to the index. You want to know about marriage in Islam and the end. Just like a dictionary, and the end, everything about marriage. With whom you can and with whom you can't. How many? Go to the index, marriage. You want to know about divorce and the D. You want about heaven and hell and the H. We are living in this Christian country, and the people want to know, your Quran, what has it got to say about my Jesus? So what do you do? Go to the index, and the J you'll find everything about Jesus. Well, you want to know? First item you see in this book here. He's a righteous prophet, he's a true prophet of God. Second item, his birth, described in two places. He's apostle to Israel. He's not God. He's not the son of God. He was not crucified. He prophesied the coming of Ahmad, everything on your fingertips. So you need a translation like this. If you haven't got it, you need it. Each and every one of you in this country, you need an English translation. If you understand Urdu better than me as a language, by all means, consult the Urdu translation. If you understand Gujarati better than any other language, get a Gujarati translation. They are available. You can get a Gujarati translation as well. But in this environment, English is imperative. Because we are living in this environment, you have to talk to people, and what are you going to talk? Maybe you are an Arab, and you know Arabic, and you understand the Quran direct. But still you will have difficulties when explaining to the non-Muslim. Between you and Allah, there would be no problem. You understand what Allah is saying? But now, to convey that message to the non-Muslim, you will not be able to use the appropriate words, terminology, and you can make a hash of it. So therefore, even you, the Arabs, those who understand Arabic, you still need a translation. That's my advice. And the ayah I read to you, in Surah Maida, chapter 5, in under M, you'll look for Maida, it says 5, easy to find because every page is numbered. And I say ayah number 85, easy to find because every ayah, verse is numbered. Allah says, وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَلَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى. It's the nearest in love to the believers in the Muslims. Nearest to the believers in love to the Muslims will thou find those who say, we are Christians. وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَلَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ مِنْهُمْ كِسِّيسِينَ. Because among them there are people, men devoted to learning, وَرَبَّانَوْا, and those who have renounced the world. وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ, and they are not arrogant. This is chapter 5, ayah number 85 of the Quran. Every Quran has that ayah. That these people, among them, among the Christians, you will find people who are devoted to learning. And these Christians, they appreciate Muslim virtues. And our commentator, the translator, he gives a further explanation, Abdullah Yusuf Ali, about these Christians that we are talking about, the Quran talks about. He says here, the meaning is not that they merely call themselves Christians, filling up census forms, you know, ticking up, Christian. Not that type. Not merely that they say they are Christians, but they are such sincere Christians that they appreciate Muslim virtues. They see your behavior, your standards, your culture, and they might not want to follow it, but they say, no, I can see you people have a point. You know, no alcohol, no gambling, no promiscuous relationship. You don't dance with other people's wives and daughters. No, he will argue and debate with you, but he says, no, I can see you people are good people. See, those, there are people who will say that, no, you people are good people. But you haven't got salvation. That's another topic. You see, but you people are good. Look, you pray 5 times a day, which they find hard on a Sunday. Once a week they find it difficult. But 5 times a day the Muslims gather, you know, and he's going through an ordeal. 1 whole month he fasts. Before sunrise to sunset, no sip of water, no food, nothing, no sniffing, no smoking. No. He said, you are a fantastic people. You people are. They appreciate Muslim virtues.
Muslim virtues, as did the Abyssinians to whom Muslim refugees went during the persecution in Mecca. They would say, it is true we are Christians, but we understand your point of view, and we know you are good men. Yusuf Ali says, they are Muslims at heart, whatever their label may be. When they say that, at heart they are Muslims. They can carry on, I'm a Jehovah's Witness, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, I'm an Anglican, Presbyterian, Lutheran. Whatever the labels, if they have that type of behavior, attitude towards Muslims, they are Muslims at heart, but with the wrong label. So now, I find these good people. They said, among them, Allah says, there are men devoted to learning. So let's find some of these. That's not the topic, but since we started with it, let us have a brief look. In 1776, not 1776, 1776, Edward Gibbon, a great historian, he wrote his encyclopedias on the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. The decline and fall of the Roman Empire in 1776. And in his encyclopedia, he says, this is Edward Gibbon, he says, the creed of Muhammad, means the principles, the teachings of Muhammad, is free from the suspicions of ambiguity. And the Quran is a glorious testimony to the unity of God. Who's saying this? A Christian. The Quran is a glorious testimony to the unity of God. And there's no ambiguity in it. Ambiguity is to say things with double meaning. You are saying things, but with double meaning. I'm in the mood to give some books away. Here is a reproduction from the Time magazine. You know Time magazine? It's world-class magazine in production and in the language of, as a literature, piece of literature. The English is really super. Time magazine. I think it's printed in America. For similar fairness, they also may be in Britain. In the Time magazine, there is an article here. And the title of the article is, When Dad is a Father. You people understand English? When Dad is a Father. Anybody, even our visitors, if they can explain, what kind of language is this? When Dad is a Father. It's ambiguous. Can you see it's ambiguous? Meaning, when Dad is a Father. What does it mean? Anybody? This book. Come now. He was very quick in saying, index. Yes, my brother, you. You got it. He's got it. He said, yes. So what it means is, when Dad is a father, father means the father of the church. See, he's a priest. When he fathers a bastard child, which you people call love child. You know what you call it, a bastard child, what do you call it? Love child. Haramzada bacha, who can't get a love child? My child is my child of my love, Allah. You know, I love my children. They are, you know, but now they use that beautiful thing for a bastard child. When you have fathered a child out of marriage, which is a bastard, what do they call it? Love child. Sodomites and homosexuals, what do they call them? Gays. Beautiful word. They prostitute for bloody rubbish. This is that's a culture. So this one here says, when Dad is a father, you show the Roman Catholic priest who had been having sex for so many years with a sister of a nun and because bastard child. So he says, when Dad is a father, means when Dad is a priest. That word father then means a priest. Ambiguous. Now the Quran is free from the suspicions of ambiguity. There's no mixing up. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Say, He is Allah the one and only. No mistake, no misunderstanding whatsoever. You can't have misunderstanding. You can't say the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God, but there are not three gods but one God. What are you talking? Listen, the Father is Almighty, the Son is Almighty, and the Holy Ghost is Almighty, but there are not three Almighties but one Almighty. See, ambiguous. The Father is a person, the Son is a person, and the Holy Ghost is a person, but there are not three persons but one person. See, ambiguity. What are you talking about? person, but not three person, but one person. Is it not what you're talking about? See? Confusing, nothing like that in the Quran. Who says that? Edward Gibbon in 1776. This is what he said. So Allah says, among them there are people devoted to learning. Among them also, here, Samuel Zwemer. He is the head of the Zwemer Institute in Pasadena, America. He specializes on the Muslim world, wanting to convert the Muslims to Christianity. That's his body. Samuel Zwemer. He is one of the greatest Christian missionaries, you know, of the 19th century and now maybe 20th century. He says, no religion is higher than its concept of God. The height, the level of your religion depends upon your concept. What do you think about Allah? If you think Allah, God Almighty, is like a totem pole, that's the level of your religion. If you think your God Almighty is like a monkey, that's the level of your religion. He is an elephant, that's the level of your religion. That's the level of your religion. Whatever your concept of God is the level of your religion. He's assuming that his is the highest. Others who would not utter those words. At the back of his mind, Christianity, he's a Christian, is the highest that you can think of God. So he expounds that. This is, you know, he's highest, not this Oriental religion. Oriental meaning Buddhism, Hinduism, Islamism. So no, these are all Oriental religions. This is the highest concept, therefore he makes such a pronouncement. But now, His Holiness the Pope, you know, His Holiness the Pope, Baba the Pope, he has just published a book called Crossing the Threshold of Hope, Crossing the Threshold of Hope by His Holiness John Paul II. How many of you own this book? Please put up your hand. How many? Please put up your hand. Not one. And there are two reasons why we are not likely to have this book. Two reasons. I'll give you one. I'll help you. One is the price. No joke. This book costs you £9.99. If you gave a £10 note, you would get this one penny. If you got the patience to wait, you'll get one penny change. Actually £10 for 244 pages. You are not likely to buy it because it's very, very expensive. Too expensive. 244 pages for £10. When I'm offering my Muslim brothers and sisters this book here, the choice between Islam and Christianity, hardcover, gold embossed, South African gold, paper inside, silk paper. No. I'm offering to my brothers and sisters, I said, £5, you buy one, you get one free. That's for tonight. You buy one for £5, you buy one, not £10. This is far superior to anything that the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church has produced. Look at this, man, just look at it. Look at the difference. This is £10, this is £5. But with this £5, you get one book free. You get two for £5. But the Muslim finds it expensive. So I said, look, I'll give you one reason, two reasons why a Muslim was not likely to have this book. One was, it's very expensive. And the second reason you give me, there's another book.
Yeah, Muslim don't read
it. No.
Why should we spend £10 on the Christian book?
No.
We don't read.
We are not a reading people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first word of wahi He gives our Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ikra. Read, perform. And we are a people who say la ikra. How many parte? We won't. No, we don't say that. Because if you say that, it is kufr. Allah says, read this, I won't read, you are kafir. So we don't say that. But in our behavior, we are a lycra community. There are people who don't read. You said that? That's yours. Now, in this book, His Holiness the Pope, he says some beautiful things. He also had side stripes at us. You know, he says something nice and he gives you a kick in the face. But that's his nature. He is a master psychologist. He is. I have studied him. I haven't got the time to go deep into that. I have studied it. But in this book of his, on page 92, He says, some of the most beautiful names in the human language are given to the God of the Quran. Some of the most beautiful names in the human language are given to the God of the Quran. There's nothing like it in His Bible, in the Vedas, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Ramayana, there in the literature, religious literature of the world, there is nothing to compare with the name that the Quran gives Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's who says? The enemy says that. Coming from the enemy is worth a million. I can say that, you can say that. No, we detain, our alim say that, and we say, yes, we agree. But now it's coming from the enemy, the arch enemy of Islam, who's out to convert us all to Christianity. He's saying, some of the most beautiful names in the human language are given to the God of the Quran. Maybe he read the Quran. Or maybe somebody told him. And he's only confirming, I'll give you a brief sample of what he's thinking about. Allah says, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو. He is Allah, besides whom there is no other God. Al-Malik, the King. Al-Quddus, the Holy One. As-Salam, the source of peace and perfection. Al-Mu'min, the guardian of faith. Al-Muhaymin, the preserver of safety. Al-Aziz, the exalted in might. Al-Jabbar, the irresistible. Al-Mutakabbir, the Supreme. Huwallahul-Khaliq, He is the Creator. Al-Bari, the Evolver. Al-Mutawwir, the Bestower of Forms and Colors. Lahul Asmaul Husna. These are the most beautiful names. Allah says that. And His Holiness the Pope confirms it. Some of the most beautiful names in the human language are given to the God of the Quran. I said, now, you have to buy the book. Now, I'm not selling it. I don't get a commission. Nor on that one, nor on this. I don't get a commission. But no, those of us, you know, who have that spirit to memorize some of these beautiful expressions, it's an opening the door. See, every time you meet a Christian, he says, you know, what your Pope, well, maybe you are a Protestant, you don't believe in the Pope. The Catholics believe he's infallible, he never makes a mistake. That he is the mouthpiece of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the second God. First is God the Father, God the Son. He is the Khalifa of God the Son. Whatever God the Son tells him, he articulates. He's the mouthpiece of God the Son, Jesus. They call him the Vicar of Christ, means the Khalifa of Jesus on earth. Say, look, this Khalifa of yours, you don't accept him, I said, but now, man, look, 900 million people believe him. They follow him. They accept him as infallible. He never makes a mistake. Everything he says is from God. No mistake. He never makes a mistake. No Pope makes a mistake. They are infallible. That's what they believe. That's their akida. About the Pope, he never makes a mistake. Because he's the mouthpiece of Jesus Christ. I said, look, this man says that some of the most beautiful names in the human language are given to the God of the Quran. True or false? He said, then give him the proof. This is what the Quran says. Is there anything like that in your book? So, you see, this is, you must create opportunities to deliver the message. Some of that quotation, I don't know whether you people got these pamphlets of mine. They were supposed to be given out in my meetings. This chapter, reproduced from the book, the whole chapter. It was given at our meeting in Birmingham, in the town hall. It was given to everybody. Everybody had this. Here's the whole chapter, 4 pages on Islam. So these are the quotations you memorize and you use. Create an opportunity of delivering the message. Now coming to the masjid, coming back to our masjid, this scene that we are enjoying at the moment, with our Christian brother, our fellow countrymen, I would welcome them, if you allow me. And your guest, and they are our guests, mine and yours. I would say to you, allow me to welcome you all with the traditional Islamic salutation of wishing you all Assalamu Alaikum, which means peace be unto you all. You see, we Muslims, when we meet one another, we wish one another, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And the hearer replies, Wa alaikum assalam, and on you also be peace. So with that salutation, I welcome you all, Muslim and non-Muslims, with the Islamic salutation of saying, Assalamu alaikum. I'm telling my non-Muslim visitors in the masjid when they come. I said, the very first thing that you did when you entered this house of prayer was to take off your shoes. Now, we are not discriminating against you because you are not Muslim. So take off your shoes. No. You see, we also take off our shoes when we enter the house of prayer. So we are not discriminating. We are not victimizing you because you are not Muslim, take off your shoes. No. We also take off our shoes when we enter the house of prayer. We do this in respect of the commandment given by God Almighty to the Holy Prophet Moses. In the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible, it is written that when Moses was on Mount Sinai, God spoke to him and he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. In respect of that commandment, we Muslims, we take off our shoes. Nothing new. We are not teaching anything new. Whatever God commanded your prophet in your own book to do, we are doing it. Can the guy fight you? Can he take exception? I said, look, we are doing what God commanded your prophet to do in your own book, the Bible. Instead of telling the old-fashioned way my father used to do, I said, you people, with these shoes you go to the toilet, to the WC, and the same shoes you go to the church, you got no respect for the house of God, but you are a nice, clean people. No, that is true. But you are creating offense. Rather, he said, no, we are doing what is in your book, God's commandments to your prophets, we are fulfilling that. Before we come into prayer, now in our masjid there, we have a pool, we call it a house, we call it house, pool, ornamental pool. And around the pool are seats and taps for wudu. So we stand on one of the seats and the people all gather around, the visitors, the tourists. I said, you see, before we go in for prayer, we make ablution. Wudu. So all the exposed parts of the body are being washed. When we get visitors, we must do the same. Tell them, please take off your shoes. Then tell them why. Because it's an inconvenience. You know that? But they don't mind. You know why? Because they think they might see something nice and funny. You know, they might see them, your monkey god and your elephant god and your snake god. I'm telling you. Because they, visitors, they come along to our masjid and they ask, they look around, they say nothing there. They say, where are your gods? Means your idols and images. So he said, look, we have no idols and images here. They said, we only take them out on Fridays. We heard something about Fridays. It's a holy day. I said, no, not even on Fridays. We hate them, we abhor them. But they can't believe. Because when they look at me in my country, I'm an Indian. I look like an Indian. In my country, automatically says, guys in India. I'm an Indian. And most of the people who are working with us, they look like me. They look like Indians. And because the majority of the Indians in South Africa are Hindus, and the majority of the Indians in India are Hindus, the overwhelming impression is every Indian is a Hindu. No. It's a natural thing. See, you look like an Indian. You don't look like an Arab. He said, you're a Hindu, in his mind. You're worshipping the cow god, the monkey god, the elephant god, the snake god. He said, no, I'm a Muslim. So I said, maybe you're worshipping Muhammad god. So I said, let's you to see the statue of your Muhammad god. He said, no, we have nothing like that here. We worship the unseen god of the universe. Like, I can't believe. How can you worship an unseen thing? You must see something. You must picture something, visualize something. What a wonderful opportunity of brainwashing the people against all the misconceptions they have. So, I said, before we go in, we make ablution. There are three good reasons I can think of. The learned man can give you a dozen. I can give you three. Number one, purely from the hygienic point of view, no one is going to find fault with a person who washes himself five times a day. It's a good hygienic practice in the guy's agree. Five times a day, the man is washing his hands, his face, then his nostrils, the nape of the neck, grabbing the mouth, brushing the teeth. Man, it's a fantastic, wonderful hygienic practice. And the guy agrees that it is a good hygienic practice.
Secondly, as I say, certain psychological purposes. Meaning, mentally it's preparing us for salah, for prayer. We are washing not because we are dirty. We might have just had a shower. But no, we are going through that process, and when we go through the process, man, the beauties, the fantastic things that happen. Number one, in the middle of the day, if you think of Zohar, when you go make wudu, what is happening? Cool water. Your hands, your feet, your face, the tempo of your heartbeat is slowed down. Man, you are doing the fantastic favor to yourself. Forget everything else. Forget the spiritual blessings. Physically, you can't do yourself a better favor than this. Take off your shoes. Remove endings. The pressure is reduced. Sit down and wash yourself with cool water. Tempo of your heartbeat is slowed down. Now, psychology is preparing you for salah, and you come and stand, that you're going to stand before the Almighty. And even, I'm telling that, even if the man is thinking while making salah, what his wife is cooking at home, even then, he's doing himself the greatest favor. These great Western psychologists, great positive thinkers like Dale Carnegie, he says in his book that everybody in the middle of the day must take off 10 minutes for peaceful quiet and contemplation. Let's go off in a nook of your house, somewhere in some corner of your room, and go and sit down there and do nothing. That's what he advises. And everybody agrees. It's a fantastic thing if you can take a break. Because we are all involved in a rat race. We can't let the telephone go, the telephone won't let us go, until the psychiatrist tells us you need compulsory rest. I said, why wait for that? Allah's agent, the Muazzin, is calling us, Hayya ala salat, hayya ala salat. He says, come to prayer, hayya ala falah, hayya ala falah. So come to success. Now this is real success. That you remind yourselves about your duties and obligations towards your Creator and your duties and obligations towards your fellow human beings. If you want to be successful, there is no other way. You are having a break. On your own senses, you know, you agree with Dale Carnegie that it's a good thing to take off 10 minutes, but you say you can't afford it. But when Allah's promise is, Allah says, it's for the compulsory break. And thirdly, this is also another commandment given by God Almighty to the Holy Prophet Moses. It says in the Bible, and Moses and Aaron and their sons, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Harun alayhi salam, and their children washed their hands and their feet thereat. When they went into the tent of the congregation in Jamaat, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. So we Muslims are still fulfilling another biblical commandment. Though we haven't got the label of a Jew, nor yet that of a Christian, yet in our humility we claim we are more Jewish than the Jews and more Christians than the Christians. In this, that we are trying to follow in the footsteps of the prophets. That's all. We are not angels. We also have our black sheep. And some of us can beat the Christians and the Hindus, you know, in evil. But we are not claiming to be angels. But in my country, if you come for Zohar time, you find 1,000 people. Any day, middle of the week, middle of the day, 1,000 people there. Well, in the cathedral next door, the Roman Catholic Cathedral, they can't get 750 people on a Sunday. I'm talking about daily. Zohar time, 1,000 people there. On Fridays, no space, 4,000 people in our masjid, 4,000 for Jummah. And when they see this, they marvel, say, how, don't you people have anything else to do in life? We also have to sweat for our bread. We have to. Maybe you have to sweat more than the white man. But Allah's command says, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah. He says, come to success, and be happy. Alhamdulillah. Well, so then when they come inside the house of prayer, just invite them. Your neighbors. Invite them home for a cup of tea. Invite them home for a cup of tea. Your teas and your bhajiyas and samosas, you don't know what they can do. There is no better way to get to the heart of the man than through his stomach. That's a psychologist tell you that, man, not me. There is no better way. If you want to get to the heart of a man, feed him. Feed the brute. I'm telling you, you're a stupid guy. We are no different from the dog in that respect. You know, you throw a bone, throw a piece of bread to the dog, he wags his tail. Man, obviously, he doesn't wag his tail, but he's responsive. You feed him. Then I'm suggesting that, look, you have a Quran at home. Give him tea, your bhajiyas and samosas, or some dal and rice, time to eat. Eat, man. Give him food to eat. This is the old sunnah of the Prophet.
Did you know that? Awwal Sunnah, long before Salat, Zakat, Hajj and so on become Fard. This is the Awwal Sunnah. Before Miswak, I believe in Miswak. I'm telling you all, I believe in Miswak. Look at 77-year-old. I'm telling you, they're sharp like anything. You don't try. No, I believe in this one. In fact, these are genuine things. These are not fabricated things. I believe in this one. I believe in beard. Look at that. Or maybe not standard size. The awal sunnah of the Prophet. You see, when Allah commanded him to declare his mission, he invited the leaders of the Quraysh for dinner. After dinner he got up to deliver his message. Abu Jahl was in the group. Abu Jahl means father of ignorance. Jahal al-Tabaq. Jahal al-Tabaq, father of ignorance. He wasn't an ignorant fool. He was the shrewdest of the Arabs. He was the cleverest of the Arabs. Abu Jahl, among about half a dozen in the whole of Arabia at that time who could read and write, he was one of those. Half a dozen. Only one in half a dozen who could read and write. His real title was Abu Hikmah, father of wisdom. Hikmah Tabal. But all his knowledge could not make him to recognize the truth of God. So Abu Nabi said, he's not Abu Hikmah, he's Abu Jahl. So that nickname got stuck onto him, but he's Mujahid. He was the shrewdest of the Arabs. He sensed what this youngster is doing. He's given a mess of pottage, dal khana khilaya, boiling rice, and now he's going to push things down our throat, his message. So he stood up and he stampeded the kids. Hey, you want to listen to this youngster here? You know, for that mess of pottage, dal khana khilaya, what the hell, car, come on! He scattered the people, he scattered. All scattered. What does our Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? He invites the leaders of the Quraysh once more for dinner, minus Abu Jahl. Minus Abu Jahl, I'm asking, how is it that nobody talks about it? Nobody. No alim, allama, I'm telling you. I don't know about you. About your jama'ah. I don't know. Allah. But I know in my community, no alim ever talks about this sunnah. He talks about the beard. You know, that you have such standard size beard, mashallah. And your mustache, you must trim it, not shave it. You know that? You must shave the mustache. I mean, you must trim it, you must not shave it. All that they'll tell you. Miswak, yes, is one month. One sunnah that you reintroduce, you get the sawab of 70 shaheed. You just introduce one thing that the people have forgotten, miswak, you know, the datan, you have forgotten. And then whoever comes along and introduces, look man, there miswak karo, miswak karo. And you introduce it to you, he's get the sawab of 70 shaheed. Just that. I believe that too. I believe. But man, what about this sunnah? Feeding the people. No. I asked it at one of my meetings in this area of yours. I said, now tell me, I was addressing girls, ladies only. And I asked the ladies, I said, you tell me why, what, why is nobody talks about it? And the young lady had the answer. I don't know any of you got the answer. This book is yours. Yes?
Spirituality of Allah,
and
they
can go into
the water.
No, cost money.
It costs money.
Money. Yeah, this sunnah costs you money. Kibat hilal, chai pilal. No, it's going to cost you money. That's why nobody talks about it. Because if the Maulvi talks, the Sheikh, the Imam, he'll have to practice it. He's got some visitors, you know, and he's talking beautiful things about Islam. It's time to go for lunch. And he said, well, look, I'll leave it anymore to this young fellow here. He said, look, I'm going for lunch. Can you do that? He's behaving like a pig, man. I'm telling you, he said, I'm going for lunch. You know, leave this young fellow here. You know, he'll keep you busy. No, the guy doesn't do that because it's going to cost him money. Feeding is going to cost you money. So that's the thing, you don't talk. Beer costs you nothing. Tell you, keep beer. Miswa costs you nothing. Make salad costs you nothing. Now, don't eat the pig, cost you nothing.
But he said, feed the people, it's going to cost you something.
So, we explain Sinandi. What we do now, look at this. When the people come into the masjid, there's always somebody making salat in my masjid. Now, it's a big center, Durban is a big city. In time, out of time, there's always somebody there. And you see the man making salat, and it goes into the sujood. Man, that is the time
point is, you know, then the man goes into the sujood, sings that. You say, you know, that is how Jesus praying. So what? My Jesus putting his legs down and putting his bumps up? Never. My Jesus praying like that? Huh? Putting the head down and putting the bumps up? Is my Jesus do like that? Because he has been reading. He has been reading, but he hasn't been studying. This is not only Jesus. Every prophet of God, I'm telling you now, in your Bible, this is how they pray. Every prophet, no exception. You bring me an exception. I show every prophet of God, he made the sujood in his prayer. And I quote you from the Old Testament. It reads, and Abraham fell on his face and prayed to God. And I quote you again, and Moses and Aaron fell on their faces and prayed to God. And again, and Joshua fell on his face and prayed to God. When we come to the New Testament, we learn that towards his last days on earth, Jesus Christ, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. And he said, wait and watch. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed to God. Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass away from me, meaning remove the difficulty from me, but not as I will, but as thou wilt. What did he do? He said, wait and watch. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed to God. I would like to know from you. Ask your visitor, the Christian or the Jew, how does a man fall on his face and pray? Is there another way that you can do besides what the Muslim is doing? Can a circus acrobat do better than that? Man, the guy is searching in his head for another way of making the sujood, falling on your face and praying. There isn't. So the guy says, no, man, you people are following the teachings of the prophets. We say, as bad as we are, with all our shortcomings, we are still trying to keep in the footsteps of the prophet. We are not claiming to be an immaculate people, a nation of angels, that we have no black sheep in our midst. We also have our fair share of all the good and the bad that exists in every community. But you will find that the Muslim is more particular in the fulfillment of his religious obligations than any other religious group. After having done something like that, now it's time for lunch. Take him back home. He does that. And he said, look, I hand you over to this Bani Sahib, I'm going for lunch. That's behaving like a pig. Don't behave like pigs, I'm telling you. Behave like Muslims. Come, take him home. He says, come, we'll share whatever we have. Or your neighbor, you call him in, you feed him. Give him tea. Give him your bhajas and samosas. And then ask him, have you seen the Quran? He says, no. So, do you like to have a look at it? Nobody ever says no. It's the nature of man. He wants to know why, man. Inquisitive. You want to know what it's like. What is this Quran like? So take it out. I don't know whether the Quran is available. Are they available outside?
No.
This book, The Choice, is available. Get this Quran out. Get them, man. Get them. And wallah, the Qurans are cheap. We were offering in our meetings in all the other places when the stocks were there. We said, this encyclopedia, the Quran, over 2,000 pages for £6. 2,000 pages for £6. This measly thing, £10. 244 pages for £10. The Quran we are offering is £6. And if you buy two, £5 each. £10 for two. Means over 4,000 pages you get for £10. Over 4,000 pages. But the Muslim, I don't know what sickness has got out in him. I don't know what it is. That he finds that is also difficult to shell up. It makes me very sad. So, I said, these people, show them the Quran. I said, do you know we believe in Jesus? Tell them that we believe in Jesus. We believe that he was one of the mightiest messengers of God. Don't we? Yes. We say we believe that in his miraculous birth, which many modern-day Christians, including the bishops of the Anglican Church, they don't believe. Not only they don't believe, but they say, man, they are the most fantastic people, actually. The Christians of this country, all over the world, they are the most abominable creatures that I have now come across. Please forgive me. See, this is what I'm going to show you now. This is from the Sunday Times, our local Sunday paper. Sunday Times. Dated April 16, Easter time, Easter. You know Easter? They remind themselves about the death of Christ, that he was crucified. There was a passion play in the Westminster Abbey, the holiest of holy place in Britain. The holiest place like Makkah is to us.
But St. Peter's in Rome is to the Catholics. Westminster Abbey is to the Anglican Church. Westminster Abbey. This is where the Queen goes. She is the defender of the faith. And maybe she was there when this passion play, meaning the turmoil and the trouble, the trial, the tribulation that Jesus Christ went through, you know, when he was crucified. And while the play is going on in Westminster Abbey, I'm reading now, a play in which Jesus Christ was referred to as a sorry-looking bastard. This is their, what they call the God, a sorry-looking bastard. The God, this is the God. And in Westminster Abbey, maybe the Queen was there, the defender of the faith, she's there. That sorry-looking bastard left some of its Westminster Abbey audience shocked and tearful on Good Friday. The three-hour production, funded by Methodist, Anglican, and Roman Catholic churches, funded by all these people, that play. And in that play, this actor is made to say this sorry-looking bastard Jesus getting crucified. And see, in one scene, an actor remarked to another, as they carried the cross into the abbey, if you drop it, I'll cut your... I can't. My sisters are listening. I can't read this. But during the crucifixion of Christ was taunted with shouts of Jew boy, that I can say. They call him Jew boy, the sorry looking bastard. They can call their God. And he said the playwright Justin Butcher, a practicing Anglican, was unrepentant, saying, you have to convey a degree of violence and humiliation to make this story real. To make it look like a real thing, you have to speak words and shit like this, you know, to make people get shocked. To say, oh, what do you think that the Lord God Jesus went through? This is what they brought religion to. He said, talk to them. They are hungry. Show them that, look, what we respect and duty Jesus. Because he's one of the mightiest messengers of God. We love him and his mother, Maryam. And you know, Maryam is mentioned in the Quran. Open the Quran. Birth of Jesus. Surah Al Imran, chapter 3, ayah number 42. Read it, man. Read it to the fellow. Let him listen to Allah's kalam in Arabic. The words of Allah, they have a power, a potency. It shakes at people even if you don't understand the word. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ. So behold, the angel said, O Mary, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ. Allah has chosen thee, وَطَهَّرَكِ, and purified thee, وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Chosen thee above the women of all nations. Such an honor is not to be found given to Mary, the mother of Jesus, even in your Bible. Do you know that, sir? Madam, your neighbor, talk to them, man. Your employee, take them. Do you know, sir, that such an honor is not to be found with Mary, the mother of Jesus, even in your Bible? She is the woman chosen above the women of all nations. Ya Maryam ukmuti li rabbiki wasjudi warka'i ma'arraqeen. So, O Mary, worship thy Lord devoutly, prostrate thyself and bow down in prayer with those who bow down. ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ. This is part of the tidings of the things unseen, which Allah says, which we reveal unto thee, O Messenger of our inspiration. Where did Muhammad get all this? They said they copied it from the Jews and the Christians. I said, what is there to copy? What have you got that Muhammad had to copy? He's an ummi. But even if he was a learned man, what is have you got to copy? You have the real diamond. And ours is an imitation. How can the imitation diamond be better than your original, your genuine diamond? How can it be? Ours is made of glass. Imitation. You got the right real Kohinoor. And ours is shouting, outshining anything that you have got. How can it be? Unless it's coming from a higher source. Allah says it's from Allah. This is what we are giving. They said, no. Muhammad wrote it. Muhammad wrote this. I said, all right. For a moment, I agree with you. It's not so. This is Allah's kalam. Every word that's uttered was given to him in his mouth to utter those words, and he uttered them. And they were preserved for us. But for a moment, I say, I agree with you that Muhammad wrote it. I says, now, if Muhammad wrote it, let us have a look at it. Let's see what this man did. I said, you see, we say God told him to write, to say what he said. So God still inspires any one of you. Tells you, say, right, write a book. I want you to write a book. It's going to take you 23 years. That book I want you to write will take you 23 years of your life. You understand?
And in that book, I want you to mention only one woman by name. Only one woman by name. Only one woman by name. In the whole encyclopedia, I don't want the mention of more than one woman. Only one woman's name you can mention. Whose name will you mention? Whose name will you mention? Huh? Why Maryam? Huh? Why Amina? It's your mother. Your mother. The answer is your mother. You see? I would mention, if the only woman's name...
Give him a book, give him the choice.
pass it on. You greedy, too greedy. Don't you too greedy. Pass it on. Naturally, me, I will mention my mother's name. Oh, my wife, oh, my daughter, not yours, and you my opposition. Why my opposition? You are a Jew. And as a Jew, the whole Jewish nation was looking down upon the Arabs for 3,000 years. Father Abraham, they said, had two wives, Sarah and Hagar. We are the children of Sarah, his legal, legitimate wife. And this Ishmael is the son of Hagar. Hagar is a born woman, a slave woman. Actually, she was a princess of Egypt, but they said she was a slave woman, a born woman. And as such, her children are Hagarines. That's what the Jews call the Arabs, Hagarines. And the religion of the Arabs, they call Hagarism. Hadith. Now, look, this man Muhammad is honoring a Jewess, not his own mother, not his wife, not his daughter Fatima. We believe that she will be the leader of the women of paradise. But even her name is not mentioned. Do you know that? In the Quran, Fatima is not mentioned, Amina is not mentioned, Aisha, Khadija, nobody is mentioned except Maryam. Why? What kind of a book is this? No, this is not Muhammad's work. You can see this is not his work. No human being can do a thing like that. Because this is what he's dictated to. Then His Holiness the Pope, I think we'll end with this, we'll allow you to ask questions. In this book here, he has got a chapter on Mary. But the name of the chapter is Mother of God. Mother of God. Jesus is God and his mother is the Mother of God. Makes sense? Yeah. If Jesus is God, then his mother is the Mother of God. No? Yes, that's logic. So the title is, in this book, Mary's chapter on Mary is Mother of God. I'm asking this Mother of God, how many times is she mentioned in your Bible? How many times? The guy doesn't know. I'm telling you, even the Pope, he won't know. The Bishop, nobody. I'm telling you. I can't imagine a Christian able to give you that answer. If there's a Christian who can answer that, I have one last book. Any Christian, take a guess. How many times is Mary mentioned in the Bible? Anybody? Nothing lost.
None. Yes. Nothing.
Huh?
Nothing.
No.
46.
76. In the 27 books of the New Testament consists of 27 books. In the first three, she's mentioned 17 times. Oneself. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all together got 17 times. In the next 24 books, only once. Total 18. Okay? Remember the figures. In the first three books, she's mentioned 17 times. In the next 24 books, only once of the New Testament. Total 18. In the Quran, 100% more times than in your Bible. And you say, we look down upon that. We are disrespectful to Jesus and his mother. I am telling you 100% more times than in your Bible, in the Quran. To be exact, 32. To be exact, 32. It's almost 100%. 18, 32. Should be 36. 100%. I said almost 100%. But 32 times. And you say we are the enemies of Christ. We are the Antichrist. We are the enemies of Maryam. We are the Dajjals. We are the Antichrist. What's wrong with you? How sick can you people get? What is sickness? There's no end to your sickness. Come, man, have a look at this book. The respect with which Jesus is spoken of in this Quran. He is called Al-Masih, the Messiah. He is called Abdullah, the servant of Allah. He's Ruhullah, the spirit of Allah. Kalimullah, he's the word of Allah. Shoo. Man, these are the titles that the Quran gives to this God of yours. But he's no God. He didn't claim to be God.
If he claimed to be God, I say, I'm telling the Christians, you show me in any Bible, you've got hundreds of different versions. In any of those versions, you show me, Jesus says, I'm God, I said, I'm prepared to accept it. If Jesus says, worship me, I'm prepared to worship him. Me, I'm not talking for you people. I have no right to talk to you. I talk for myself. You show me in your Bible, any Bible, Jesus says, I'm God, I'm prepared to accept it. Because I know the man will never lie. That's what I know. One thing about Jesus, he can never lie. If he says, worship me, I'm prepared to worship him. I say, I don't talk for these people. I have no right to talk for you, to commit you to the guillotine, to chop off your head. I say, I'm prepared to have your head chop off my head. Show me. There is it. Wallah, there is it. So now, learn to talk. Learn to open your mouth. And get these books, the choice. They are available tonight. £5 each. And with everyone you buy, you get one free. Give them to your non-Muslim friends. Your neighbors, your brother-in-laws, your sister-in-laws, give them. And your neighbors, your employers, your employees, give them. Buy two at a time, you get four. Buy five, you get 10. For the price of 5, you get 10. Buy 10, you get 20 in a box. Take them, man, and give them out. وَآخِرُ الدَّوَانَ عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِ الْعَالَمِينَ Takbir! 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 Sheikh Ahmed Dida, at the age of 77. Dynamic, motivating, inspiring. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him health and long life. And may Allah bless him and reward him. May he shower his mercy upon him most abundantly for his untiring efforts to promote his deen Islam. Brothers, we now come to the question times. I would like you to please arise and ask a question pertaining to the talk of the day. While you are thinking of the question, there are a couple of announcements. Firstly, there is a van parked right outside the gates, which is a hindrance, an obstacle to all. The registration number is C604WKV1. It's not quite clear. Please remove it as soon as you can.
And give preference to the non-Muslim visitors for questions first.
Other cars, the registration numbers are F410NTN, C604WKV, that's the same van, M705POK, E747LSF, and lastly F708RLD. Brothers, as you know, we have guests here from senior colleges. I would like you to please give them preference if they have any questions. And this question and answer session is the most interesting session of Sheikh Ahmed Dida's meeting. So I would like you to stay. And I would also like to request you to please exercise patience after the question and answer session has finished, because we shall, inshallah, conclude this program with dua, that is supplication. Brothers and sisters, I would also like to take this opportunity of introducing the National Dawah Program to you. IPCI on Coventry Road in Smallhead runs a very comprehensive National Dawah Program. I would like you to write and be a part of it. It is incumbent, as the Sheikh has pointed out, for us Muslims to spread the message of Islam, to pass the message of Islam. And for this, you need knowledge. Brothers and sisters, this book, The Choice, is available today as a one-off offer. The normal price is £5. Today, you buy one and get the other one free. Buy one, pay £5, and get one free. If there are any questions, please arise and pose your question. Sheikh will answer it, inshallah. Any questions from the visitors?
from the guest. This is the opportunity. Otherwise, please, Prabhupada, if you have any questions, arise and go to the church.
Yes, go ahead, shout.
My question is that Muslims and believers, we believe one of the belief is belief in all the prophets, right from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam of the Prophet Muhammad. And we are also instructed in Quran, La nufarriqu bayna ahadin min rusulih, that we are not to discriminate between the messengers of God. Why is this then that there is an impression that as if Muslims are in conflict with Jews or with Christians as regard to the Prophet of Christianity, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, the Prophet of Jews? Why is this this feeling, and why is this among Muslims, I would say, that as if we are in conflict as far as the Prophet Jesus and Prophet Moses alayhi salam are concerned? Could you elaborate on it?
The question is that though we believe in all the prophets of Allah, which we do, and we are told la yufarriqu bayna ahadin minhum, that we are not to discriminate between one messenger and another, so you know Moses is greater than Jesus, or Jesus is greater than Muhammad, or Muhammad is greater, no, we are told this is not our business. In the sight of Allah, who we love best, most, that's his business. We are not to discriminate between the prophets. And Jesus Christ also told his people, said, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, ye shall be measured unto you. Don't sit in judgment. Don't start saying who is greater, who is less. That's not your business. We accept them all as Allah's messengers. But how is it, the question was asking, that the Christians and the Jews, they take, you know, they take us that we are like their enemies. You see, the reason is that Islam is the only non-Christian faith. Islam is the only non-Christian faith which has come after Christianity. And it claims to correct, complete, and supersede Judaism and Christianity. Not only that, it claims, Allah's claim, not me, I'm not claiming. He said, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَىٰ. He is who has sent his messenger with guidance, وَدِينُ الْحَقِّ, and with the religion of truth, لِيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ, that it may prevail, overcome, and supersede every other deen, every other way of life. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِدًا. And Allah is not as a witness to this fact that He's going to make His deen to prevail, with you or without you. With you or without you. He can do it, he can change the whole of mankind. No, no. But he wants to give you and me that privilege, that pleasure of doing the works of the prophets of God and earning a prophet's reward. So he has chosen us to do the job. So we are a challenge. We are a challenge. At every step we are a challenge. You don't know, there's so many Christians that stood up and they walked away. This was the time to ask questions. I was telling you people, make room against the wall, let them sit there. They wouldn't have walked out in a hurry. But they started walking out, they walked out. Those are the guys, they all walked out. Why? This is the time to ask. They say, Mr. Deeda, wait a minute. You see, Muhammad may be a good man, but you haven't got salvation. You see, Christ died for our sins. Come and talk, man. Talk. But no, they are terrified. I'm telling you, they are terrified. Against haq. You see, when you have the truth, Allah says, بَلْنَقْزِفُ بِالْحَقِّ لَلْبَاطِلِ, when truth is heard against falsehood, بَلْنَقْزِفُ بِالْحَقِّ لَلْبَاطِلِ فَيَلْمَغُهُ فَازَهُ وَزَاحِكُ, it knocks out its prayers. Light against darkness, it dissipates darkness. Heart against battle, it cracks the skull. And when your skull is cracked, how do you behave? Like a saint, you behave like a saint guy. When your brain is cracked. No, this is Islam. You see, we are talking to the people's come. Talk to us. Ya Ahlul Kitab, Allah says, Ya Ahlul Kitab, O people of the book, Ta'ala, come. Look, Ta'ala, come. Ila kalimatin sarayin baynana wa baynakum. That we come to common terms as between us and you. Come, let us get on the common platform. This is Allah telling us to tell them, call them. But nobody is calling them. Do you know that? The trouble with us is nobody is calling them. I'm asking my Arab brothers in Al-Azhar. I'm talking to these people in Al-Azhar, the Shahs. You see, how do they respect me? They respect me because I gave battle to that Jalut. Who? Swala.
America. They saw that. They said, no, this guy is a little David, Amit Awul, and that Jalut, I'll knock him out. So since then, they have respect for me. Although I don't know Arabic, I'm not a scholar of Allah, I'm a lorry driver who has come to stop talking, I start talking, and you people like, listen to me, and I talk, and you people enjoy my talk, and in the process, I think I'm passing on some message to you, which makes me happy that I think you listen to some of my advice, that's all. So I meet the Sheikh of Al-Azhar, and I'm asking them, I said, you read the Quran? You people, you read the Quran? He said, yes. I said, you understand what you read? He said, not like you Hindis, me. You read like a parrot, you don't know what you're reading. I said, no, that is true. That is true. All the non-Arabs, we are 900 million Muslims, non-Arabs. And all of us, we read the Quran without understanding one word. Almost all. You agree? All the non-Arabs, we are in that plight. There has been certain things going on that created this situation that I don't have to explain to you. So, he says, not like you Hindis. If you will read like a character, you don't know what you're reading. But I know that I'm Hindi. I'm from India. So he says, no, that is true. But I say, you understand what you read? He said, of course. So Allah is telling you. I'm telling that Allah is telling you. He's telling everybody. He's addressed to the whole of mankind. But since you understand, it's more directed to you. Like somebody shouting in Chinese. Let's say you are all Chinese. All Chinese. When somebody shouts in Chinese, fire, fire! I will keep on talking. Do you know that? Yeah, you know. And somebody may be calling his friend, calling his dog, you know. But you are bloody fools if you don't react. Do you know that? If your language is shouting fire, fire, and you just sit down and listen and getting entertained, I'll be done. You're fools, man. You should have to react. So I said, now Allah is talking to you. Who they are? In his language. Fainnama, Allah said, Fainnama, yassarnahu bilisanita. We have sent it. The Quran down in your own tongue. We made it for you, easy for you in your own tongue. Allah is telling you, we have made this book, the Quran, easy for you in your own tongue. Tumhari zaban ke andar tumhare liye aasan kar diya. In your own tongue. For what? He said, litubashshira bihil muttaqeen, that you may with it give glad tidings to the muttaqeen. The God fearing, the upright person. And I'm asking, how many masjids have you got here in the city? One city in the Arab country, I'm asking. He said, 1,000 masjids. So I said, you've got 1,000 imams. He said, yes. Who are they talking to? So the muttaqi. Because you go to the masjid, he's talking to you. You go to Jummah, he's giving the khutbah talk. Because you are going there. You are the muttaqi. You are the upright fellow. But Allah says, وَتُنْزِرَ بِهِ قَوْمٌ لُدَّ. And a warning to the qawmun lutta. I said, you've got 1,000 guys. Sheikhs and Imams and Alims, they're talking to the Muttaqi, to the God-fearing, the upright person. Is there one in the 1,000 who's talking to the common Lutta? He says, no. As 160 million Arabs, in the 160 million, have you got one who's talking to the common Lutta? He says, no. These Sheikhs of Al-Azhar, I'm asking them, Allah is telling you, قُلْ يَا أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ. All people of the book, don't go to extremes in your religion. With regards to Jesus. The Jews, they say he's the bastard child of Mary. In the Jewish Talmud, they say a Roman soldier by the name of Pandera, he raped Mary, and this bastard child is given up as the son of God. The Christians say because he has no father, his father is God. They're both going to extreme. So Allah is telling him, as tell them, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, la taqulu fi din. Don't go to extremes in your religion. Wa la taqulu ala Allah illa al-haq. And don't say anything about Allah except the truth. Imam al-Masih, Musa ibn the Messiah, translated Christ. Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus son of Mary, Rasulullah, is a messenger of Allah. Wa kalimatu, and a word proceeding from him. Al-Kaha ila Maryam wa ruhum minhum, which he bestowed upon Mary, and a spirit proceeding from him. Fa'aminu billahi wa rusulihi. So believe in Allah and his messenger, Jesus. I'm asking, are you telling this to the Christians? He says, no. It's Allah is telling you, wa la takulu thalasa. Don't say Trinity. I say, any of you believe in Trinity? No. Then who is Allah talking to? Talking to the world? No. Through the Imam, Allah is giving you instructions. Those who say Salasa, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, go and tell them, Wala Takulu Salasa. Don't say Trinity. It's a message given to us, through the Imam, that we may go and do the job. I said, is there? Are you giving this message to the Christians? Are you telling them Wala Takulu? He says, no.
So Allah says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ. Anyone who says that Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, is God, is making kufr, he said that's a blasphemy, treason against Allah. وَقَالَ الْمَسِيحُ. That Masih said, يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ, O children of Israel, لَا عَبُدُ اللَّهَ, worship Allah, رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ, who is my Lord and your Lord, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ, whoever will associate anyone with Allah, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةَ, Allah will make Jannah haram for him. وَمَقْعَدُ النَّارِ, in the fire of hell will be the dwelling place. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنْصَارٍ, and for the wrongdoers will be no one to help. Are you telling them that? So, no? So Allah is telling you, قُلْ, say, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْ. I said, you understand, تَعَالَوْ? I'm asking them, you understand, تَعَالَوْ? He said, yes. Who is تَعَالَوْ? He says, come. Are you calling them? Are you calling them? No. I said, I don't know why. No. Then Allah is talking to you in your language. In your language, you ask. We Hindus, you got a good excuse. We don't understand. Allah forgive us. That's a problem. You got a good excuse. I'm telling you. But you are, you got no chance. You got no hope. I'm telling you, you are in the hell. We are a challenge. At every step, you are a challenge. So that's the idea. The answer is, Allah says, وَلَنْ تَرْضَىٰ أَنْتَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَىٰ حَتَّىٰ تَتَّبِيَ مِلَّةً. That the Jews and the Christians will never, never be satisfied with you. Do you believe what Allah is telling you? He is telling you that never, never, learn is a double negative. Most certainly not. They'll never be satisfied with you unless you follow the bread of religion. Go and join the church if you want peace. Give the Jews whatever they want if you want peace. Otherwise, there's no hope for you. There's no peace for you unless you change them or you get changed. You can't sit on the fence. You are sitting on the fence. All of us are sitting on the fence. As you're talking like a very monkey, man. This is when everything fails. You try and hard, the guy will fight you, he will kill you, he's swearing you, abusing you. Then you say, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When an ignorant who addresses you arrogantly, Allah says, say, peace. You go your way, I go my way. That is the last resort. You don't start with that. But we are all starting with that. Where are you supposed to end with the worst criminal? That's how you start. No, no, you end that. That's the ending. When the guys are out to fight, you swear, you, abuse the Prophet, abuse the Quran. Then you know it comes to the girls and you might not come out well. So the first thing is, so, that's them. Right, any other question? Yes, my sir. I'm sorry.
There was an article recently in a bit of the Independence, Dr. Michael something, he's a Pakistani by birth, he's from Rochester now.
Right, right.
And he said, it's time for religion to criticize the Quran, look at it from a literary point of view.
Right.
Now, what I'd like to ask you is, why are Christians not concerned with the authenticity of their own books? For example, the Old Testament, how the scriptures perished when the original was stacked, the many versions of the New Testament the Christians themselves wrote to have. Why is it they don't want to know about these and you're so concerned about us? Could you answer my question?
No, you see, the trouble is with us. We should be doing our job. We are not being here, we are not doing it even in the Arab countries. There are 15 million Egyptian Christians, do you know that? 15 million in Egypt. There are millions in the Lebanon, in Jordan, and the Arabs. You have no language problem. Here, most of us coming from overseas, your fathers, you know, the English, you know, poor fathers and all, you know, you can't open your mouth. You don't know what to talk. But now, say the Arab, he's not talking. For 1,400 years he hasn't talked. No, it's all of us. We must all wake up, all must wake up. And you do your duty. You do this little job. You invite the people. Forget that Michael Nasir Ali, you know, he's a Pakistani, a murtad, his father was a murtad, and he's a child, and he's qualified, he's a bishop. Yeah? Inshallah, we'll try and catch him fish. He'll be writing to him. He said, now look, let's have a dialogue. In the Royal Albert Hall, or in the NEC, in the NEC. We have a dialogue. We're not only suggesting, he said, look, we, at our expense, we'll call up a meeting. The concept of God in Islam and Christianity. No fight, no war. Come, you come along and tell us, you know, what is your concept of God, and we will say, what is our concept of God, and leave it to the people to decide which one they want to buy. They want to buy your concept or buy our concept. That's all. No debate, no boxing match. Just come along and talk, man. We'll see what happens. Next one. Yes, my brother.
Yes, sir.
My mother's family are Jewish, and my father's family are Christian.
MashaAllah.
From the Orphans.
MashaAllah.
I've been waiting for the Salah for 20 years. The question I want to put is this. We're talking here about the problem of Christians.
Right.
But in reality, the Christians are only the foot soldiers of the Jews.
Right.
Against them, the foot soldiers of the Jews,
right,
against the Muslims.
True.
I mean, we have the presence here from Selyov colleges.
Right.
You only have to go to Selyov colleges to see the Judaica encyclopedia.
Uh-huh.
Judaica, page 617 on the Gentiles.
Uh-huh.
And what does it say? Baba Shaboy of Moim Harov.
Uh-huh.
Even the best amongst the Gentiles must be killed.
Uh-huh.
Not that they should be tolerated.
No.
Not that they should, they must be killed.
Right.
And they say in their little part, just like they say in the Torah, about Miriam and about Hagar and about this, that she was a bondwoman, she was a slave, in fact,
right,
we know what
right
she was.
Right.
Because they're lying.
Right.
Now that being the case, they would have broke Father Shaboy going, not a going, a Roman Harab, the best amongst the Romans should be killed because they tortured him.
Right, right.
Now, but the agenda is something totally different.
Right.
And the problem, as you said, is that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said quite clearly, study your enemy, understand your enemy, only then can you defeat your enemy.
True.
And we do not study them, but they have all colleges in every
right
city
right
studying
right
us.
Right.
Selyov colleges came about as a Methodist missionary college in this city in the 18th century to send missionaries to Muslims to make them into Christians. And yet we send our children there to study. And we wonder why their brains come out confused. Because they come out to the concept that they are inferior when you are superior to this system and this way of life. And that being the case, my brother, I'd like to ask you the question, I'd like to ask you the question in this. Why is it we are not studying them and why are they so busy studying us? We do not study their Torah, and especially the Jews do not follow the Torah anymore.
True.
These Jews that we call the Europeans, the Ashkenazim, when they are not Jews, they're not even from Bani Israel,
right,
they're not Semitic, they're
right
from the tribe of Khazars. In fact, they study the Talmud, which is a rabbi's interpretation,
right,
which is a complete evil.
Right.
We do not even know the Torah,
right,
the Talmud, the Kabbalah,
right,
or even the Angels,
right, right,
but
right
they know our book. And
right
they spend millions of dollars
right
every year attacking us, but we do not know them.
Sure.
Until we understand them, we cannot defeat them, because they will know more about us than we know about them.
Sure.
And why is it that our scholars, our alumni, our ulama, are not warning us of this danger when we live amongst them and we do nothing even to take Islam to them?
True.
And in fact, groups are in this country that said to me and people like me that God warned about Muhammad and we warned Muslims for our families that it's away from Islam, that we do not take it to you until we make all the Muslims a prayer. I'm not going to mention the group, but this is a nonsense, because the Prophet Muhammad said quite clearly, after Hajj, go out and propagate Islam, go out and take Islam to the world.
True.
And yet today, in this country, the Asian community are opposed to this, almost totally, except for small groups. And until what happens, their situation in this country is not safe. Imam Sayyid Fahad, whom you know from the States, says, we are the secret weapon in the heart of the Khutbah. This is the first time in the history of the world that sizable numbers of Muslims are in the West. So much so that they have this week actually made a problem for Lord Justice Scott on the Arms to Iraq conference at all for judgment against this British government, who supplies them the same Jones. Because his daughter and his son both became Muslims, and they said the judge might now be biased. Why are we not warning our own people against the evil that is within our own community? For we are a minority here. Inshallah, we will be the majority.
But
we will be the majority when we make their children Muslims.
Inshallah. No, it's all left to us, my brothers. Don't wait on the sheikhs and the imams. Don't wait on the alims. Because they are the children of their training. You see, the Americans have a saying, garbage in, garbage out. Whatever jo kuch bhusa bhara gaya hai, wo bhusa niklega. Whatever sawdust goes in, the same sawdust comes out. So it's the training. They are trained to mind their own business. They are trained to say, lakum deenukum waliya deen. They are trained to say, you go your way, I go my way. They are trained that way. You see, when Allah says, come man, call them, talk to them. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ وَرْهُ jihad, as you ought to do jihad. وَاسْتَبَاكُمْ He has chosen you for this. وَسَمَّاكُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ He has named you Muslims. مِنْ قَبْلُ وَفِي حَازَ Before and now.
they are called Muslims. لِيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ And he's made the Rasul a witness over you. وَتَكُونُ And the whole lot of you, no exception. وَتَكُونُ And the whole lot of you, شُهَدَ عَلَى النَّاسِ A witness to mankind. I'm asking, are we a witness to mankind? Are we? You're not. No, because the alim is not drawing your attention to it. The alim, he should tell you, from the member, they don't do dawah. That may be working for you. Go and tell her about Islam. That guy who's doing the gardening for you, or you working for him, go and tell him and invite him home and talk to him. The alim, because he's not talking from the member, you are not doing it. Fellow like me, so that's my business, that's my job. I'm a paid servant of the IPCI in Durban. So I'm talking all this, because I'm paid. I said, you my brothers, sheikhs and imams, alims and allamas of Al-Azhar, and of Ummul Qura University, and Medina University, meant that something has gone wrong, and your Darul Ulum Durban, and your Darul Ulum Jalalabad, and your Darul Ulum Rawalpindi, the whole lot of us, we are like sheep and goats, you know, we're like donkeys with the blinkers on. Yes, this is my own business. Hamara thikana nahi hai, we are not perfect. My dear brothers, I know. Look, you are hungry to listen, and I am hungry to talk, but then I can see that uncomfortable position in which you are seated for so long. I think every good thing has to come to an end. And tomorrow, 6 o'clock, we are leaving for London to catch our connecting flight to Abu Dhabi. So you will please forgive us.
One is one.
Huh? No, no. That is not
one. At least one. What do you want to ask?
No. Ibrahim said, Mahkana Ibrahim, a Yahudiyum wa la Nasraniya. That is Ibrahim. He was long before Moses was born and long before Jesus was born. So he couldn't be a Jew or a Christian. That's Ibrahim.
Please remain seated, my dear brothers, because we shall conclude this program with a dua, with a supplication. Please do exercise patience for a few minutes longer. Jazakallah shukran, you are Sheikh, for your guidance and your direction. Brothers and sisters, it's a message for us. Sheikh wants us to acute ourselves with knowledge and pass it on. There are books here outside. They will help you to acquire that knowledge. And when you acquire that knowledge and talk to others, you will find talking to them is also a reminder to you yourself also. You will find that during the course of time, it will change your life. And it will also influence and affect your family life as well. And inshallah, there will be Allah's blessing upon you, and there will be fruits before you that you will feel multiplying day by day, inshallah. I would now like to request our Sheikh to please come forward and conclude this program with a dua.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim Ya Muqallib al-Qulub Thabbit Qulubana ala Deenik Thabbit Aqdamana Wansurna ala al-Qawmi al-Kafirin Allahumma kull al-Mu'minin wal-Mu'minat wal-Muslimin wal-Muslimat Al-Ahiyai minhum wal-Ammat Tabi Allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil-Khayrat Innaka mujibu al-Da'wat Innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم واحشرنا معهم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا صدق الله العلي العظيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.